thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the King. He is the King above all kings. He is the Lord above all lords. And today, this very day, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is in the place of honor. He is in the place of power. He is in the place of authority. He is in the place of glory. The Father has placed all things under the feet of Jesus. And the Father has given to Jesus the name that is above every other name. He's ruling. He's reigning at all times, in all places, and in all kinds of different ways. He is bringing about the purposes of God in the world that he created. As we very quickly approach Christmas, we're in the Christmas season, let us keep Jesus Christ right at the center of Christmas. As I said last week, Jesus came to earth for the singular purpose of going to the cross. But that was not an end in itself, of course. It was an order that he might bring many sons to glory. And you are one of those this morning. So this morning, we're going to conclude this short series on Hebrews 12, looking to Jesus. And the final sermon this morning is on the crown. There we go. We've had the cloud and the crowd, the call and the cross over the past few weeks. And for this final sermon, I have three brief points. And here's Graham's input. I can never think of titles for points. So this is what he gave me the points and I write the sermon. Received and recognized, ruling and reigning, and he's bringing reconciliation and renewal. And I truly pray that you will be as inspired and encouraged listening this morning as I have been preparing this sermon, because I've totally been blessed. Received and recognized. When I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about the homecoming of Jesus. We usually focus on Jesus' birth, his earthly life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his work in heaven now, and his second coming. Those are all great themes to think about. But maybe when we think about the ascension of Jesus, we become a bit stuck at ground level with the disciples. We sort of see Jesus going up, and the book of Acts tells us that he was hidden from their sight by a cloud. But what if we could continue our gaze upward and not just see the cloud, but see heaven receiving back its glorious, conquering Lamb of God? I'm going to read you a hymn. We'll sing this hymn to close this morning. What a hymn. I definitely will not be singing it. Well, not probably not even at the end. Look, ye saints, look up. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the Son of... Start that again. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the Man of Sorrows now from the fight returned victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow. Crown the Saviour. Angels crown him. Rich the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthrone him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. Crown the Saviour, King of kings. Sinners in derision crowned him, mocking thus the Saviour's claim. Saints and angels crowd around him, own his title, praise his name. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. Spread abroad the victor's fame. Hark those bursts of acclamation. Hark those loud triumphant chords. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy the sight affords. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus came to earth to defeat the works of the evil one. He came to break the power of sin. He came to conquer death, hell, and the grave. He came to cancel the written code and its regulations that stood against us. He came to disarm powers and authorities. He came to make a public spectacle of them. He came to triumph over them. He came to redeem us and to reconcile us to God. Did Jesus achieve his purpose? I ask you, did Jesus achieve his purpose? Is he a victorious Savior? Well, I ask you this. Psalm 8:5 says Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He took on the form of a servant, coming in human likeness. If after his birth was announced to humble shepherds in a field outside Bethlehem, if on that day a great company of the heavenly host were there praising God, how much more do you think the heavenly host was praising God when the conquering Savior returned home to heaven, returned home to the Father, the one whose glory he had shared from all eternity? Do you think the heavenly response was subdued and muted? I mean, not at all. The angels knew. They knew that humanity needed a Savior. They knew that humanity had fallen at the Garden of Eden. But God's plan of redemption, the sending of his one and only Son, his eternal Son, his sending of him to this earth, taking on humanity, the Son of God, who those angels had been worshipping, became lower than the angels. And he became the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Peter tells us even angels long to look into this. It blows their mind. What a glorious homecoming the Son of God would have had. When I was preparing, I watched a number of videos. I did think about showing one this morning, but I thought better of it. A number of videos on YouTube, you should watch some, of soldiers returning to their families after spending months, some cases years, in various wars. I will admit that I just sat there crying as I was watching these. The sheer emotional outpouring of these families who had lived with months, if not years, with uncertainty. Will my loved one come back from the battle? Will they return? And will they be okay when they come back? Jesus came to earth to do battle with Satan and all the powers of hell that held us captive. Jesus didn't come shouting orders. He didn't come with a military uniform. He didn't come with a sword in his hand. He came in humility. He came in weakness as a baby in a manger. He came and he was stripped naked. He was scourged more than any man. A crown of thorns was placed on his bleeding head. Nails pierced his hands and feet. When he died, a spear pierced his side. Jesus' strength was not in his military might, nor was it in his physical prowess. Jesus' strength was in his submission, in his willingness to be the suffering servant. But on the day of his ascension, he returned to his Father, and what a homecoming. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, this is the homecoming, folks. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has returned home to his Father, and he is satisfied with the work he has done. He shall see of the labor or the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Jesus has been received and recognized. Secondly, he's ruling and reigning. Jesus is Lord. He sat down. The tense that's used there is used to describe a work that has been completed, but the results are carrying on. He sat down because the work of redemption has been completed, nothing lacking. Hebrews 1:3. After he had provided purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 10:12. When this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Completed work. But to this day, that work continues to be effective. That picture there is a picture of a crusade from Christ for All Nations. You may probably have heard of Reinhard Bonnke, and that is one of the crusades in Africa. I read only yesterday that around 174,000 people are becoming Christians on average every day in our world. Jesus Christ sat down. He sat down. The work of redemption complete. But it continues to be effective. All over the world, this gospel is growing and bearing fruit. And let make no mistake, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The right hand is a place of power. It is a place of authority. It is a place of preeminence. I think this is where some Christians get a bit confused. They understand about salvation, but they don't really think Jesus is ruling and reigning. They don't really believe it. Because they look around and they see chaos. They see broken lives. They see evil and sin abounding. Surely if Jesus was ruling and reigning, if he is this one in power and authority, we would see it on the earth. You know, in Christianity, there's a tension. Theologians refer to it as the already, not yet tension. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now, but we are still in the phase where his absolute power and authority have to be fully seen and realized upon the earth. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there is a day coming, folks. There is a day coming when we are going to see the complete fulfillment of it. Psalm 110 of Messianic Psalm, verse 1 says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Where's Jesus sitting? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. We know and recognized, and hopefully you can see, that Jesus has been raised and exalted and given the name above every name. But folks, we do not see at this point, we do not see every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth bowing to Jesus. We do not hear every tongue confessing that he is Lord. We see it partially, but this will be completely fulfilled. There is a day coming when the enemies of the Lord will be a footstool for his feet. A day is coming when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he is Lord. I don't have time this morning to go into that in detail, but I want to give you a wee peek of what's to come from John the Revelator, John 11:15-18. Wonderful words. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. Does that make you excited? And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was. Listen to this. Because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. A day is coming. Hallelujah. The writer to the Hebrews summarized it like this, and this, I think, absolutely clarifies the already not yet. Hebrews 2:8-9. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see, at present we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Friends, that's the tension. You're looking around and you say, ruling and reigning, I can't see it. You need to look up, see Jesus. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, and then start to read maybe a bit of the book of Revelation and see what is to come. And finally this morning, reconciliation and renewal. I so much want you this morning to just have a vision of Jesus. See him in splendor. I want you to see Jesus experiencing the answers to one of the final prayers he prayed on the earth. Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That's what Jesus prayed. That was his final high priestly prayer. And today he is glorified. And at this moment, he is working in this world to bring the purposes of God. Friends, don't doubt it. Don't doubt that he's working. Don't doubt that he is reconciling men to God. I want to encourage you by telling you a story. It's a bit long, so I'll have a drink. How am I doing for time? I'll speed up. I heard a story this week. It has been published, well, not actually published on a website or anything yet because it's a bit sensitive, but it's been published by Wycliffe Bible Translators, who are not known for promoting anything supernatural. They're very conservative and very cautious, and their donor base would be very much the same. Elam have a couple of missionaries working in Jos in central Nigeria. They work in association with the Wycliffe Bible Translators. It is a militant Muslim-dominated area. They are seeking to bring the word of God to the whole of Nigeria in every language. 510 languages spoken in Nigeria. 240 of them still need the Bible in their own language. So these two Elam missionaries have a national person working with them. We'll call him Samdi. That's not his name. He's very active in preaching, bringing the word of God, bringing gospel tracts to people. Recently, he got a call on his mobile from an unknown number. And a man asked to meet him out in the jungle. Now, he was very suspicious about this man. He thought it was probably a trap to maybe murder him, to do harm to him, something like that. So he suspected it was that, and he chose not to meet this man. A week later, this man called him again and began to plead with him to please meet him and then go out into the jungle to meet some other people. Now, Samdi was honest and said, you know, I don't think I want to come because I actually think you're from this militant group. As it turns out, he admitted, yep, he's a leader in Boko Haram, which I'm sure you've all heard of, who are very active in kidnapping, especially young girls, renowned for their brutality. He said in this conversation, he said, we want you to come because there's five of us leaders. And we're leading 2,500 militants. And we were going on a raid and we're going through the jungle. And we've got our target. And he said, we came to this trail and there was a figure there, bright, shining figure, feet touching the ground, but the head in the clouds, right up in the heavens, and we couldn't pass. So we came back and we tried another way, but this figure was there. Tried five different ways to reach, but we couldn't get there. Then he said, well, after the fifth attempt, we came back to our camp. The five leaders, we separated ourselves from the crowd of the militants. We got our prayer mats. We got down and we began to pray to see what this was. He said, as I knelt down to pray, and I was praying and asking, what was this? What's happening? He said, this figure in bright, shining white appeared to me. He said, I asked, who are you? What is this? And he said this figure just reached out his hands and turned them palms up and showed me the nail prints in his hands and said, I'm Jesus. He said, and I just fell down. I fell down and I said, Jesus, I will follow you. I give my life to you. And he got up from that experience and he was going back to the other four to tell them what had happened to them. And the other four had all had identical experiences. He said, Samdi, we've heard about you and we need you to come. So Samdi, he still thought there was a risk, but they prayed and his wife agreed, go with the man. He met him. He got on the back of his motorbike. They drove out into the jungle. Samdi, in fear and trembling, and he's a preacher. And he got there and there's 2,500 militants sitting on the ground with these five leaders in the jungle. And Samdi, who would normally preach, opened the Bible, which only 6 years previous had been translated into their language. And he read the first four chapters of the book of James. And all 2,500 became followers of Jesus. Friends, Jesus, he finished the work of redemption and he's still reconciling people to himself in the most incredible ways. They beg Samdi, they said, stay with us, teach us. Samdi said, I'll stay 3 days. And he read and taught them from the first three chapters of the Gospel of John. And now Samdi's trying to figure out how to disciple 2,500 Boko Haram militants. Never doubt what Jesus can do. Jesus is the King. As I close this morning, I want to remind you, Jesus will bring renewal to all things. John tells us what he saw in his revelation, Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the biblical picture of the ultimate reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what's in store for those who endure to the end. You shall reign with him. Johnny read that hymn this morning about being crowned. Paul at the end of his life said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also, this is to us, also, to all who have longed for his appearing, looking onto Jesus, see him. Just before we're going to sing our final hymn in a moment, takes 3 minutes. Dave's going to put on a wee video. I think Graham has showed this before, maybe a couple of years ago. I love this. You ever feel discouraged? This is the one to watch. Dr. S.M. Lockridge, just saying, this is my King. Enjoy as we come to our final hymn.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. But yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Our King, we acknowledge you, Jesus, the one seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Thank you for that completed work. Oh Lord, not just with our words, but with our lives, may we crown you King of all. We ask in your name, amen.
Your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.